Thank you. There are extras of these handouts that were received yesterday entitled Where Are We? And they're on the front table here in case there's someone who did not get one. Please avail yourself of those. For our second symposium speaker, Frank Boychuk. Frank?
Thank you, Brother Allen, dear brethren. It's a delight to be with you in convention once again. I haven't been here for a number of years, but we're glad to re-establish acquaintances that we've known for many years back. We'll just go right into our second part of the symposium, and we'll bring you greetings during a testimony meeting. My section of this symposium is verses 10, 11, and 12 of Colossians chapter 1. That ye might walk worthy of the Lord, unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work, and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering, with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. As Brother Jim has already mentioned, the Apostle Paul never did personally visit Colossae, but he writes this letter to the saints and the faithful brethren there, the brethren in Christ. It was Epaphras who evangelized the cities of Colossae under Paul's direction. And Paul was very pleased to hear the report from Epaphras about the faith they had in Jesus Christ and the love they had to all the saints. Now, this fruitage was very pleasing to Paul. But he still wanted to warn them that they beware of anyone who could spoil them with philosophy and vain deceit, as he writes later on in Colossians. So he wanted them to be sure that they walk worthy of the Lord, or worthily, as you have the Rotherham translation in front of you. And also with all pleasing. Now, this all pleasing can only be pleasing to God alone. Our walk has to be pleasing to God. The same admonition applies to you and me, as he wrote to the Colossians, that all true saints of God who have been begotten of the Holy Spirit to the divine nature must walk worthy. The Christian walk means our course of conduct, including our thoughts, our words, and acts. It means our growth and understanding in the knowledge of God, his character, and of his grace, and his plan of salvation, that we be not seeking other ideas and philosophies pertaining to the truth of God. Apostle Paul did not lack instructions to the church, the new creation in his day, which is applicable to our day as well. The new creatures, according to Paul, he gave us many instructions on how we are to walk. In Ephesians chapter 2, verse 2, he says that the new creature walked not according to the course of this world, not according to the prince of the power of the air, the spirit which now worketh in the children of disobedience. This is the walk of the world, the walk of evildoers, the walk of the children of wrath. The new creation, the new creature, is not to walk in that manner. It is very opposite of those who walk as children of light. The spirit of the world is totally opposite of that. We know the children of light should walk, saying that the fruit of the Spirit, wherever it is found, is goodness and righteousness and truth, ever increasing in the knowledge of God. Therefore, the Holy Spirit never prompts us to badness, to unrighteousness, to untruthfulness. whoever has received the Holy Spirit, whoever has been begotten of the Lord as his child, will walk to prove, to demonstrate, to ascertain thoroughly what is acceptable unto the Lord. What the Lord will be pleased with, because we are to be all pleasing to God only, and not merely what would not merit severe punishment from the Lord, not merely what the Lord would wink at and not take serious offense from, but far beyond all this, whoever properly has the spirit of a son must desire to know the Father's will. The Father's will, and delight to do that will. That will, in all purity and goodness and righteousness and truth and honesty, must be carried out. The influence of this determination of the new creature to please God, to do His will signify that our life, that our heart, and so far as possible, our every act, every word of ours, will be in accord with goodness and in accord with the principles of righteousness which God represents, in accord with the truth. Paul writes further in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, verses 8 and 9, where he says, "For ye were sometimes darkness, but now are ye light in the Lord." We must be able to illustrate, exemplify that nature, light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, Paul says. And in verse 9, as the Diaglot rendering says, "Since the fruit of the light is in all goodness and righteousness and truth." That's the fruit of the light. All goodness and righteousness and truth. And verse 10 says, "Proving what is acceptable unto the Lord." Paul never lacked instructions to the church, the new creation. He goes on in the 10th verse of chapter 2 in Ephesians, "For we are His," that is God's, "workmanship, created in Christ Jesus unto good works, which God had before ordained that we should walk in them." He is saying, in other words, that we should not have any fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather reprove these works thoroughly, that we may be able to walk pleasing unto God. We are responsible not only for what we ourselves may do and think as new creatures, but our responsibility goes out beyond ourselves to the brethren, to all who in any sense of the word come under our influence. Paul also goes on in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, how we should walk in order to be worthy of the Lord. He tells us here, "Walk worthy of the vocation wherewith ye are called." We're called into a very specific vocation, very specific work of employment as new creatures in Christ. In verse 2 he says, "With all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love." And this is agape love. Our vocation is the very highest of all. This is the highest occupation you can have on this side of the veil. We are the representatives of the Lord and Master. We bear His name and should seek in everything to glorify His name and never to dishonor it. What do we do? What we do, what we say, what we think, in fact, even general appearance and deportment, and where we are seen, all reflect more or less upon the great King. We want to be found in a condition, in a place where we are always worthy of the Lord. because we are His ambassadors. Our vocation is that of servants of God, and no earthly avocation should be permitted in any degree to hinder or abridge the influence or the service which we have undertaken as children of God, as joint heirs with Jesus Christ, who is our Lord, and we as prospective members of His bride class, prospective members of the kingdom class. We are therefore to be good examples in any case, anywhere we may find ourselves. Paul gives us further instructions on how we are to walk in order to be worthy of the Lord. He tells us in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 17, "This I say therefore and testify in the Lord that ye henceforth walk not as other Gentiles." Now you can see there's a distinction here. As other Gentiles walk in the vanity of their mind. And this is where we have to make very careful discretion that we are not seen walking as other Gentiles walk. And this is very noteworthy, because our walk will be very different to that of what other Gentiles walk. The new creation are to walk not as other Gentiles. These are two different walks. They differ in many ways. Brother Russell commented on this particular scripture in reprints 41:89. And he gives some very, very good advice and instructions. And we quote, "We are not merely to refrain from the sins and gross immoralities of natural man, which is the walk of other Gentiles that Paul is referring to here, but we are to allow this principle or spirit to pervade all of life's interests." All of life's interests. "We are to refrain from following foolish, worldly fashions," the pastor says, "from being influenced by a worldly spirit. We are to have the Spirit of the Lord, the Spirit of a sound mind, to direct us in our joys, in our sorrows, in our wedding celebrations." I wonder why the pastor chose that particular area. Our wedding celebrations and our funeral services. We can see if we walk as other Gentiles, we know what kind of wedding celebrations other Gentiles have. We are not to practice those types of celebrations as new creatures in Christ. In fact, whatsoever we do, we are to do to the glory of God, and are not to be influenced by the spirit of the world, but contrarywise, are to set a proper example for the world in all matters, in gentleness, kindness, patience, faithfulness, to the Lord and to duty. The walk of the world is on the broad road. They're still quoting Pastor Russell. The walk of the church is on the narrow path. As we progress in Christian experience, we find this path getting farther and farther away from the broad road which the world is traveling, and whoever tries to keep pace with the world will in many respects be apt to find himself leaving the narrow path, or otherwise disadvantaging himself as a new creature. Unquote. So we have some very fine instructions here given to us by the pastor on how we're to walk not as other Gentiles. How else are we to walk in order to be worthy of the Lord? Well, Paul goes on in Ephesians chapter 5 and gives us many instructions here. Beginning verse 1, "Be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also had loved us and had given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Verse 3, but fornication and all uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints. Let it be named not even once, Paul says. Neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. For this ye know, that no whoremonger, or unclean person, or covetous man, who is an idolater, hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. And he goes on in that same chapter, verse 17 and 20, wherefore be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. We must continually discern in our minds, is this the Lord's will? And be not drunk with wine, wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit. We know we can become intoxicated with the natural drink of wine. Some are become addicted to it. Some who have consecrated their lives to the Lord, that I'm aware of, became so addicted that they totally left the narrow path. But we're also to be aware of not becoming intoxicated with the spirit of the world, as symbolically wine represents here. Intoxicated with its ambitions, with its desires, with its goals that they have in mind. We could also become intoxicated in that field, in that area. And this is where we must discern very carefully in our minds what is the will of the Lord, the Spirit of the Lord. What is the Holy Spirit? If you will be filled with the Spirit of the Lord, Paul says in verse 19 of that same chapter, Ephesians, speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father, or even the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We find much admonition in these words that the Apostle gives us. The new creation is to walk in love. Our words, our deeds, everything with which we are connected is to be governed by this law of the new creation, which is love. As Paul says in Romans, the 13th chapter and verse 10, love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. And Jesus said in John 13:34, a new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you. In compliance with this law of love and our Lord's glorious example, the Apostle says we ought to so love one another as to be willing to lay down our lives for the brethren. We should be ready at any time we can find an opportunity of service for the brethren, especially along the lines of their spiritual or higher interests as new creatures. This spirit of love is to control our conduct with all. We are to love our neighbors and seek to do them good, to serve their interests. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor, and will not take advantage of one's neighbor to cheat him, to injure him in any manner. Love would not prompt its possessor to speak evil of his neighbor, but would lead to a remembrance of the scriptural instruction that's given to us in Titus, the 3rd chapter, verse 2. Speak evil of no man. Love would do this from principle, because it is right. But more than this, love ultimately takes such an interest that the brother or sister exercising it does not wish to do anything that would be harmful to another's interest, to their welfare, but rather to do something to his honor and blessing. Love progressing as we walk in it ultimately brings us to that blessed condition where we can love our enemies and be glad of the privilege of doing good to those who despitefully use us and persecute us. The great Apostle Paul gives us many instructions on how the new creation is to walk in order to be worthy. In Romans, the 13th chapter, verse 13, he says, "Let us walk honestly, as in the day." We are to be honest with God. We are to be honest with ourselves. We are to be honest with our neighbors and with our brethren. Not only with money matters, but also in the treatment of neighbors and the brethren, and above all, in confessions respecting God and our faith. Honest in our faith. Paul goes on further in the many instructions he gives to the new creation in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 15 and verse 16. He provides another instruction how we should walk to be worthy of the Lord. He says, "See then that ye walk circumspectedly." Walk circumspectedly. Not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. The word circumspectedly signifies to look carefully all around at every step. The Christian cannot be cross. Christian cannot be irritable. Christian cannot be touchy. Or, as Brother Russell says, or a careless liver, L-I-V-E-R. We are not to be in that manner. And as a Christian looks around him and realizes the various pitfalls, the various snares, not only will he seek to make straight paths for his feet, lest that which is lame be turned out of the way, but additionally, he will seek divine aid and counsel and guidance that he make no mistakes, that every step in life's pathway will be such as will have divine approval and glorify God in his body and spirit, which are God's. This is walking circumspectedly. This circumspection of our walk as new creatures is the more necessary because our adversary, the devil, is especially on the alert to see where he can deceive us, to see where he can ensnare us, to see where he can trap us. And our tests are permitted to be the server as we come nearer, to be more severe as we come nearer to the goal of our character. We should walk circumspectedly also because we profess to be the new creation, begotten of the Holy Spirit and not of the world, but separate from it, and because our light so shine, more or less reproves the world. To walk circumspectedly is to hearken to the instructions of the Lord's Word and to the leadings of the Holy Spirit, and thus to walk carefully, and in so doing to develop the characters which are most pleasing to our Lord and Head. The Apostle says, "This circumspection is necessary in order to our walking, not as unwise, but as wise." There's a wisdom of the world, as Brother Jim brought to our attention about the wisdom. There's a wisdom of the world which is foolishness with God. And there's a wisdom with God which is foolishness to the world. The wisdom of God is to be ours. We are to exemplify it in all the affairs of life. And he goes on to say, in that 16th verse, redeeming the time because the days are evil. How do we redeem the time? We are to buy it back, as though the time was already mortgaged. The cares of this life, its necessities, the custom of the world, our fallen tendencies, all would absorb every hour of life into things pertaining to this life. Whereas, as new creatures, our new hopes and aims and efforts are properly centered on things above, the heavenly things, the King's matters, our Master's matters. So where may we obtain the necessary time wherewith to study and to refresh ourselves in rehearsing the blessings, the promises and favors which we are as new creatures? And where may we obtain the time for telling these good tidings to others if we allow the spirit of the world to direct us? We shall have no time for any of these things and shall fail. But as wise and not as foolish children of the Lord, we will see and appreciate the greater importance of the heavenly things and be ready to buy back, to sacrifice our earthly interests and customs and ambitions in favor of the heavenly. And thus we may redeem or buy back the time that we had previously spent for worldly things, that we may henceforth spend such time in the interest of ourselves and others of the new creation. You bought back time when you came to this convention. Every effort, every work that you may do in the Lord's service, you're buying back that time. The service of our Lord and Master, to whom we have consecrated our all. We have given our all to our Heavenly Father, and he gives it right back to us and says, here, use it wisely. And that's how we buy it back. It's not ours anymore. We use it in his service. We call it our consecrated walk, which we find that we like to do and accomplish above all things. We know we have to provide honestly for the life that now is, but we buy back time, even from that, wherever possible, to sacrifice it in the Lord's service. And then the last verse of my share of this symposium, giving thanks unto the Father, which had made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. We have much gratefulness to express, much thankfulness to express, because we have been invited to be partakers of an inheritance which eye had not seen or ear heard, an inheritance beyond our comprehension, an inheritance if we are faithful unto death and receive our reward of glory, honor, and immortality, which is far beyond any inheritance that's ever been provided to anyone except our Lord Jesus. We can see, brethren, how thankful we should be, how we are to be filled with the Spirit of the Lord, that our chiefest joy, our chiefest blessing will be in giving thanks to the Lord for His goodness, in maintaining a fellowship of heart with Him, and then additionally having fellowship one with another with those who are in the truth in the Lord. We are to speak one to another in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, thus making melody in our hearts to the Lord. The Lord's people are not to be morose, not to be sullen, not to be unhappy, not to be always in tears. David, the great prophet and king, said, "Rejoice in the Lord and shout for joy." And this is what the new creature is to do. Shout for joy and rejoice of what we have received. We are to be continually rejoicing, full of gladness. The basis for this is our faith in the Word of God, which we all continually feed on and are nourished by together with our fellowship with the Lord. This will continually be a ground for praise and thanksgiving, and additionally our fellowship with one another, which will be more sweet than any earthly or selfish fellowship. It will be the exhilaration of the new mind, continually growing stronger and more godlike, seeking to build up one another in the most holy faith and character likeness of our Redeemer. As the Apostle says in Ephesians 5:19, we are to give thanks always for all things to God, even the Father, in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We're to give thanks for the trials. We're to give thanks for the clouds as well as for the blessings and the sunshine. We're to give thanks for matters that seem to be adversities, knowing that God is able to make all things work together for our good to us as He has promised to do so. And that the entire matter of needs and welfare are in the hands of our Redeemer, who is too wise to err and too loving to be unkind. How thankful we are, dear brethren. May the Lord add His blessings.
Thank you, Brother Frank. We have a short break, a time for fellowship. Please return in time that we can start promptly at 25 minutes after. Thank you, brethren.